Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you will hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of Global Gaming Business, and this week we feature an interview with David Norton, the Chief Marketing Officer for Harris Entertainment, on a new initiative with the company's Total Rewards program. Norton has been around Harris for more than 10 years and played an integral role in the formation of Total Rewards. With the announcement this week that Total Rewards will now recognize non-gaming purchases and participation from customers, Norton says the program will reach yet another level. He spoke with me and Global Gaming Business Editor Frank Legato at his offices in Las Vegas in mid-September. David Norton, thanks for joining us on the Global Gaming Business Podcast. A big development in the Total Rewards program this month. It's really becoming industry standard in players clubs, and you know it's allowed Harris to market to its customers and really develop that relationship not only between the company but between the individual properties and the customers. Tell us how this new initiative will expand the reach of Total Rewards.
Sure. So a few weeks ago, we launched what we call Total Rewards Non-Gaming internally, but that's not how we're communicating it to the customer because that's not exactly user-friendly. It's really just an enhancement to Total Rewards, and it is now going to track and reward customers for all their non-gaming spend. So the reason for that is we know certainly in Vegas, but also in places like Atlantic City and with our new Hammond property at the Horseshoe, that we're trying to attract a broader audience, people who might like to game a little bit, but they're coming for other reasons, right, whether it's for a show, for a good meal, great room, spa treatment, whatever it is. And in the past, they may not have thought they were a big enough gamer that the program was relevant for them. So now that we will track and reward all that spend, we think that they'll be encouraged to sign up for the program, and they'll be able to earn great rewards, and we'll be able to market to them more effectively because we'll know truly what they like beyond gaming.
Why bother with non-gaming? Is it that big of a market at this point that you can spend the money to would the money you spend be justified to do this?
Well, we certainly hope so. Yeah. But we've done a lot of research with our customers. We've done a lot of analysis, and as you know, in Vegas, more of the revenue is non-gaming than gaming, and across the company, 20-25% of our revenue is non-gaming, and it's been growing at a good clip. And certainly a big part of our strategy in a couple different markets to attract this audience. So whether that is in Hammond, where you get a lot of people who live in downtown Chicago who would never have gone to a riverboat previously and they'd rather fly the 3.5 hours to Las Vegas, now they have a compelling offering, and whether that's a beautiful gaming facility or with the concerts we're doing at the venue and all the restaurants. So we think that we can continue to grow that revenue at a good clip on the non-gaming side, and then for the customer, it's one account. So if they decide to throw some money down in the games or at the slot machine, they're earning on one account on the tier credit side as well as the reward credit side. So a lot of value for the customer, and hopefully for us too in terms of building relationships with the non-gamer, much like we have with the gamer over the years.
So how does this work? Is this the full range of non-gaming things from hotels to restaurants to retail, spas, all of those dollars?
Right. So the only caveat is any leased outlets and something like the Forum Shops on the earnings side where it's not our outlet. Obviously, it's on property and people associate with it. But anything on property, generally speaking, you're going to earn your reward credit. So it would include the hotel room. It would include the spa, the restaurants. Show tickets, all those type of things are eligible for earning.
Is Middle America casinos, casinos in like the heartland of Indiana, is there as much of a non-gaming spend there as in urban centers, Atlantic City and Las Vegas?
It certainly depends on the property, no doubt about it. But I think even if you think about Horseshoe Council Bluffs, they have the whiskey bar, they have concerts in there. They have a buffet that's a pretty appealing asset as well. So clearly gaming outweighs non-gaming in those type of markets pretty dramatically. But still, it's a reasonable part of the business, and I think it's one that can grow at a good rate too. So some properties, it's going to be a little bit less relevant. It's certainly most important in Atlantic City and Las Vegas, but other properties like Chicago and even our Harris Council Bluffs property during the summer has a pretty aggressive and impressive concert series. So you get people to go to those concerts, and if we can engender them in loyalty as well, that would be great.
You've laid out a pretty simple point earning ratio here, 1 point for every dollar spent in non-gaming. Now, there's obviously different profit margins for different profit centers. How do you reconcile that with, you know, coming up with a point for, per dollar?
Right. So there was a lot of discussion or debate internally about that, because you're right, the profit margins vary dramatically depending on the outlet, and it does get to the whole issue around lease arrangements as well. So we thought about that, but we felt like the complexity of getting customers' heads around that was not worth tying directly to profitability like we do on the gaming side. So we felt like the message of one reward credit for a dollar spend was very easy to communicate to customers and employees, and it's right in parallel with membership rewards as an example, right? Yeah. You get a point for every dollar spent. So we felt like that was a good place to start. Realize we're not perfect on the profitability side, but that being said, we feel like the upside and the ease of communication outweighed it. In this particular example, where we didn't come to the same conclusion back in 2003 with the gaming side, where we wanted to keep it to profitability.
Sure. Well, might this program encourage development of non-gaming amenities in these other properties? For instance, if you wanted to do a nightclub that would appeal to younger people who may not gamble as heavily, that this might make them loyal customers as well?
Yeah, I think it could certainly spur it on. So you talked about the Midwest, and for several years now in our Kansas City and St. Louis properties, mm-hmm. we've had the Voodoo, which is a bit of a nightclub, and we have entertainment. It's a pretty flexible venue, but typically geared towards attracting a new audience. But yes, we hope to get those people signed up and then not only get them to visit our properties locally, but now they have many choices when they come to a Vegas, but because they're in Total Rewards, they're going to choose one of our properties over others. Mm-hmm. And really the whole network effect of building loyalty, not only in that home market, but when they make their annual trip to Vegas, that they mm-hmm. stay within the family.
Now, as far as your marketing department, are you coming up with a customer rating, or is it going to be a non-gaming rating and a player rating? Is it all going to be merged into one player worth or customer worth rating?
So at the deepest level, yes, we will know the customer's profitability, and that was part of the objective, is to say that you could have two $50 a day gamers historically, and one could spend $1,000 on the hotel and the spa and shopping and all these other things, and the other one could spend $100, and we would have treated them both the same. And so inherently we will know the true profitability of the customer and reward them appropriately, whether that's certainly directly through the rewards mechanism, and we can choose to do that as well through the marketing. But it really is to recognize the fact that some people are more profitable than others, or are more loyal, if you will, on that side. So we'll know it. Exactly how we execute against it is what we're going to continue to test and evolve. But at the very least, customers will be rewarded for more of their spend than they are historically.
Right. Now, you're already able to tailor your offerings to players, because you know when they come, what shows they see, you know, the time of day they play, that kind of thing. Are you going to be able to use this to really even more accurately target the people, and that maybe when there's sales at the forum shops or something like that?
Right, so there are a whole range of possibilities, and we have to determine what is most motivational for customers. Mm-hmm. But certainly you could take an example of somebody sees an act in any of the properties, whether it's House of Blues at Showboat or at the venue at Hammond or whatever it is, and we know that they went to this type of act, the Smashing Pumpkins, and then the next analogous act to the Smashing Pumpkins at the venue, we say, hey, this act's coming in, you might want to see them. So we will definitely use that information to try to be more personalized, because in the past we said come in with your coin offer or just a blanket offer, but the fact that we can try to bucket things based on what we see from people will be very important for us. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, and obviously the deal is to be relevant to them,
right,
that we're not hitting them with 50 pieces of mail, 48 of which were potentially irrelevant. We're hitting them with one or two of them most relevant.
Sure.
Is there going to be a set formula for eventually for the types of offers you're going to that are going to come forth based on the type of spend that you've seen, or is that something that's going to evolve as the program gets started?
I think it will evolve. So the program just started August 12th, and we did a bit of a soft launch in terms of just making sure the technology was all in place and that the employees were trained. So that all worked out pretty well. So with the press release and press coverage like this, and with a promotion we're going to launch in October and a bit of a PR deal we're going to do in Memphis in a few weeks, now we'll start to more aggressively market it. So the data is flowing through now. We have some data that we can start testing things. But the reality is we're going to learn. And you know, that was part of the debate internally, and it really is the discipline of use that information in a way that's going to be valuable for the customer and as profitable as we can. So we don't know all the answers. We just know strategically that the fact that we know more information about the people and what is relevant to them beyond which games they played, which offers they've redeemed, we think will be beneficial to us and beneficial to the customer as well.
Mm-hmm. Is this a completely internally developed program for Harris Entertainment? No outside vendors or anything for you?
No, from a strategic perspective, marketing perspective, no. We didn't bring in any consultants whatsoever on the marketing side. We worked with Leo Burnett on the creative. So I don't know if you've seen any of that, or we can print out some samples or get you some samples. But so Leo was helpful for us to bring this campaign to life, any signage you see on property, but not on the strategy side. This is something that I was passionate about, and Gary is, and we had a lot of discussion and debate internally about it over a course of a year, and did a bit of a pilot in a couple of properties here late last year, and then launched this in Tahoe in July for a month. That was more of a technical test, and then here we are across the company. So we were passionate and convinced people this was the right thing to do.
Looking for the most informative weekly publication in the gaming industry? Subscribe to Global Gaming Business Weekly, the only electronic news magazine that brings the news of the gaming industry to your desktop every Monday morning. Global Gaming Business Weekly is a complete publication with information on the gaming industry in the U.S., Europe, Asia, and beyond. Read about the latest moves in Indian gaming, the updated research about problem gaming, the breaking news that will impact everyone in the gaming industry, all in one publication. Global Gaming Business Weekly is read by all the top executives in the gaming industry before they start their work week. Shouldn't you? To subscribe, go to the Global Gaming Business website, www.ggbmagazine.com. Click on the Global Gaming Business Weekly icon. Don't be the last to know. Read Global Gaming Business Weekly every Monday morning.
And how does the technology work? Obviously, you got a slot machine. You put the card in at tables. They enter into the machine. Is it, now you have to link up your cash registers all around the property. Was that real difficult to do?
If you're an IT professional, sure, right?
Yeah.
It was really hard. And for the cost, maybe it was. But no, so that is the deal. Through the point-of-sale terminal, you have to capture that data, and then it will feed into the warehouse, and then we can do must be mathematical and such, so we can calculate the profitability. And when we do look at the profitability, we actually do look at the margins by the outlet that we're doing. But just from a communication point, it's a dollar of spend gets your reward credit. So, yes, there definitely was some work around that, and probably the biggest challenge is there's so much data that you have, and they're at Mesa Grill, and do they like this type of wine and that kind of thing. So to get that data to flow through accurately did actually take some time that the data made sense.
Right.
But that's the basic deal. And two basic mechanisms for people to do this. If you're in a hotel, you can charge it to your folio. Then all that data flows through. Or at the point of sale, you show your total rewards card, and you could show your credit card and then total rewards card. So two cards, extra step in the process. But eventually that could become more seamless, perhaps. But that's the process to get the play tracked.
Is there a card reader at the, like a player's card reader at the POS?
Right. Yeah. So that it's just a second swipe for the employee at the retail outlet or the spa or whatever it would be.
How might this work with the leased properties, say in the pier or in the form shops? Obviously, they would like to be able to access this type of information, and it probably would make it a nice place to rent, because if you had this kind of information, is that being considered now, or is that part of the program?
Well, I think that with Total Rewards, we're capturing a lot of information, obviously, and we've got to be very respectful of the customer's data. So selling the data and offering it up, I'm not sure we would do. But so one of the things you'd see in the communication, because while we were clean on this earning mechanism, there's still a slight degree of confusion. The form shops is so associated with Caesars,
right,
that people are going to say, well, why the heck can't you earn there? So what we developed with Leo Burnett is that there's some signage that would say earn and redeem here. so one of our own outlets would say earn and redeem. And then several years ago now, actually, at the Pier in Atlantic City, we offered up the Total Rewards gift card. It's intermediary through Discover. And so there's a lot of redemption that's occurred for several years now, several hundred thousand dollars a month, where you can get a gift card and then go to Coach or Burberry,
right.
And then actually you can take your Total Rewards card and go directly to Budokan, Philips, Continental, and that's been in place well before Total Rewards non-gaming, and so we have the quick rewards functionality. So similarly here at the Form Shops now, you have the gift card intermediary. We switched from the Simon Visa, and so on the redemption side, there's a lot of value for the customer to say, did my playing, did my spending, and I can go to the Form Shops, whether it's Eat or Dine. And then that's very valuable for those entities because they're getting revenue.
Right.
The earning side is definitely something we'll attempt to tackle down the road. We want to get this up and running, get as much value as we can for our purpose and the customer's purpose. But there's some technical deal right there. So we have a little bit more standardization around point of sale where there's more variety based on other people. And then you also have to think about what's the economics of it. And do they contribute the reward credits? Do we? Is it split?
Right.
So that'll be a much more complex process financially and technically to solve that we will probably get to at some point.
But if they can redeem this gift card through that, the vendors are still getting the benefits of this one way or the other.
Yeah, the vendors are getting a ton of value. So you go to the vendors at the Pier, and they're pretty darn excited to be able to redeem several hundred thousand dollars a month from Total Rewards, and it's great for the customer because they have a place to redeem and get merchandise or have a great meal at any of those restaurants that they want. So part of it is you build up that history and say, gosh, look at how much revenue we're stealing for you. Do you want to contribute a little bit on the front end if we're going to offer up reward credits? I think is a conversation we could probably have with people.
Are you? How about the people who don't gamble at all? I know there's a lot of people that come down with their spouse and the spouse gambles, but they don't. Will you try to incorporate them into this, or will they use other amenities?
Yeah, hopefully so. So that is part of the deal, and all of it's in the execution on property. But hopefully, when you check in, you'd say, "Yeah, now the Total Rewards is all new," and that spouse would say, "I love to golf, or if it's female, I love to shop or go to the spa." So this program is relevant for me too. So
need to be alerted that they need to get a Total Rewards card.
Right. So again, hopefully that's happened as we've launched across the properties. Clearly, that is dependent on execution on an individual property level. But when we start with the big promotion to support this, that'll become even more obvious. There'll be some encouragement for sign up for that group of people too, and lots of signage on property around that you're earning and redeeming at the spa and the restaurants and all that. So we do certainly hope that more and more people sign up for the program, again, because it's going to be relevant to them, whereas before that person would say, hey, I don't game, it's not for me.
Yeah. We saw a demonstration last year at G2E that Microsoft put on with that they purported that you guys were involved in it, which is an incredibly complex relationship building program. Is this part of that, or is this just something that you could possibly add on to something like that?
So we did launch Surface at the iBar at the Rio, with capabilities like Flirt and some others. So they are independent, at least today. And but I do think that there could be some linkage. So is Surface a mechanism to sign up eventually? Is it a mechanism to have your reward credits redeemed? Or if you're ordering a drink at the iBar, do you put your card down and magically that's the way it gets tracked and nobody has to swipe it? So over time, I do think that they do integrate in some way, shape, or form. And I think from an innovation perspective, what we want to do is test various things with an endpoint in mind, whether that's 2 years from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now, whatever the particular application is, that all these things converge in a more seamless customer experience. But you want to get the learning and say, okay, non-gaming, we think there's something there, roll it out. Surface, really cool deal. How do customers react? What are the applications that generate revenue? And these things can all converge at some point. So I do think eventually Surface is a key mechanism to get people excited about Total Rewards and to be able to earn and redeem about it.
Yeah, the Surface thing, I got the idea that, well, for my age, that it's much for people who are much younger than me that understand this kind of technology better than I do, the instant messaging and that kind of thing, that I still don't do. But is this something that you think will be able to incorporate into Total Rewards so that you'll be able to do a lot more things than you're able to do right now, just swipe the card and get the credit?
So I think we envision that as people walk around our 300-plus acres here in Las Vegas, is that they will be able to interact through Total Rewards in many more compelling, innovative ways, as opposed to swiping and signing up and needing a physical plastic. So I certainly think that'll happen. When it all happens and how it happens, to be determined.
Right.
But we do think that the fact that, for example, if there are show tickets available to Penn and Teller tonight, and do you have an ability on some sort of device, hey, I'd like to go to Penn and Teller, to be pinging you with that. So I think all that's certainly possible, and the Total Rewards will be more mobile in some way, shape, or form, and we'll continue to push towards that.
Okay. Well, David, thanks for joining us. This was a very interesting concept. We're looking forward to seeing it implemented and how you roll it out to your players and see how much they enjoy it. I'm sure it'll be something that'll be very interesting to them.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us on the Global Gaming Business Podcast. If you want to learn more about this or any subject, visit our websites at ggvmagazine.com or casinoconnection.com. To stay in touch with the industry, subscribe to Global Gaming Business Weekly, the industry's only comprehensive electronic news magazine delivered to your desk every Monday morning. Download subscription forms at the Global Gaming Business website. For now, thanks for listening to the Global Gaming Business Podcast.